Hi, I'm Keegan, and this is A Bunch of Gamers. This is our 166th episode of Werewolf the Apocalypse 20th Anniversary Edition, Across the Nation. I'm going to go around and have my players introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Sam. I play Cora. She's an Aruna in the Get of Fenris.
Hi, I'm Adam. I play Mark Guides the Fallen, and he's a third of the Children of Gaia.
Hi, I'm Sean. I play Zeb, Speaks in Sweet Whispers. He is a Thearge of the Silent Striders.
Hello, my name's Thomas. I play Dimitri Howls in Memory, Lupus Galliard of the Bone Gnarrs.
Hi, my name is George. I am playing William Groves Matrices. He is a rune of the Glasswalkers.
Quick announcement, Sam's mic broke during this session, so she was using her laptop mic, so we apologize for the quality there. Last time, the Pax had gone to the Sept of the Green while having a younger pack investigate Mountain View Housing, who was buying up neighborhoods near the Sept. The Pax went to the Sept of the Green then to try and locate Little Meatball. From there, the Pax learned of Agatha dying from cancer and had decided to stay with her to learn all she had to teach the nation. The Pax then had decided that they were going to split up once they got back to Five Mirrors after Cora and Mark had a fight over what the right thing to do was. Meanwhile, Kyle and Zebulon had traveled across Mexico to several Karens to create an alliance as per the request of the Margrave. Now the Pax have reached the Five Mirrors, and their adventure continues. You all get to the Sept of the Five Mirrors and run through. As you didn't have the talents to go, you ran across country once again, and you have ended up at the Five Mirrors on July 23rd. It is at this time, though, that the Umbra is set ablaze, and you see a moonbridge come in, and Zebulon steps out by himself. As you've all reconnected, Zeb's got a bit of a farmer's tan going on from his recent trip with Kyle to Mexico.
Welcome back. Looks like you did a little bit more than just talking with the Zebs over there. You got some sun.
It was quite a journey. Just a little bit of sun, a little bit of heat in the Umber now, huh? How I think things will go well. Kyle is back at Sacred Stone. It's time for the Philodox to talk this over and weigh our options with the Grand Elders. I think we'll have something good come of that. What's been going on with y'all? I've heard to the Green, but not much more.
Well, looks like the boys are going back home for a little while. I'm gonna go see if I can't track down our little one.
Oh, that's a lovely idea. Have you heard where the Silver Pack is right now?
Is it Montreal?
It's in Canada.
No. It's in Canada. West Coast, I believe.
I believe it was in the Northwest Territories in the Sept of the First Rage. A Red Talon Sept.
When do you plan on going? Right now?
I do.
Against my advisement, she will go.
Why did you advise against this?
Because I can't figure out how to get to him without letting our location be known.
I fear it risks the child and the Silver Pack. What if we were followed? What if she is followed?
Well, the Gru are the chosen warriors of the apocalypse, not observers of the apocalypse. I think that with the messengers that we have in our nation and their discretion, you could announce yourselves in time and, in accordance with the litany, not violating anyone's territory, nor infringing upon their authority, make that visit happen. Just be open. Now I could see the risk of many Garu appearing all at once, and not just a few, because that could maybe be viewed as a threat, and many are easier to track than a few. So a very good point, Mark. But I think just a few going to show the young cub that he is still loved and remembered is going to be very important.
Wise words, but I still hold hesitation. In these times, anything can be followed, spirit messenger. Though, yes, we are great warriors. Silent Striders, messengers. We all fight for Gaia, we all fight for the cause. which is why we should put our trust in the Silver Pack. Our time to visit the child will come.
Recall, the idea of forming the Silver Pack came from us, and it was to ensure that the child was not executed outright, because he was not found to be pure and not guilty. It was a stay of execution. And yes, it is their duty to watch that child. It is the duty of the nation, from member of those great Celestines that we spoke with, that to be raised as a member of the Gru Nation meant to also be showed love, to be remembered, and it's going to be very important to a child without parents. And I feel like a few members of our packs here know very well what it's like to not have parents anymore, and what happens and how it shapes you when you have no family, and to believe that you've been abandoned. Tell me that does not shape someone. And when you're viewed the way that child is, and not just being a Hamid or a Lupus born, that's a mighty rough edge and a mighty rough ride for a little one to take. A little bit of love wouldn't hurt. Caution, though, sure.
Well, this wisdom howls loud. I certainly don't want the little one to be to have something happen to them that happened to me. Rather, something that didn't happen. Never really knew my parents, but I don't want little one feeling that way either. I'm just very concerned, I guess paranoid.
Well, consider the theme here, Mark. We're not fighting to not lose. And doing everything we can to be right for whatever this child has, you know, whatever goal they accomplish, whatever laws he might end up breaking, we want him to be for us. Doesn't necessarily mean the House of Cards doesn't come down and that there's a stark change that will come. But I don't want that to be an enemy that we face 10 years from now.
This is very true. I'll concede.
Less is more, though, too. Just a few Gru going. It's pragmatic.
Mark, as you hear called out.
I shall turn to see who it is.
It is, of course, Jonathan Nightbiter.
Nightbiter, great to see you.
Likewise, I'm glad I caught you. I was afraid I wouldn't catch you. I'm heading out for a bit. I'm moving on to the Sept of the Western Eye for a bit of change of scenery.
Mark will approach closer and kind of hint at a hug. I haven't seen you since that time at the lake.
Yes, and I'm glad I'm out of it, as he gives you a hug back. I think I had a wake-up call, and I think it's time I head out. I'm going to go to the Sept of the Western Eye, as I said. It's a child of Gaia, Karen as well, but it's got a larger, older brother population, and I feel like expanding my horizons without going to the same Karen as yourself and stepping on your toes and moving on through there. It seems like you have that Karen truly and well handled, so I'm gonna go elsewhere.
Thank you, Nightbiter. I appreciate that. In Mark's head, he's just gonna have like the doctor's words kind of repeat a little bit and speak, trying to ignore them. You take care of yourself, Jonathan. These are really weird times. There's strange enemies coming out of the woodworks.
Yes, no, there have been. And I know Great Lake Superior has been having trouble themselves with Gaia's fever and other things.
Just be careful and look out for yourself. And I don't mean that selfishly or, you know, lone wolf, Ronin stuff. Just, I'm worrying about you, Jonathan.
Thanks, Mark. I worry about you too sometimes. But I know that you've got plenty of pack mates and friends to keep you safe.
I do. I mean, you could come with us. I wouldn't feel slighted.
No. I've already sent out a request to at least be a visitor and a temporary member of this sept, and I don't wish to go back on my word. I think it'll be good. It's a smaller Karen as well. I don't want to change too many variables at once, Mark. 5 mirrors is a very small Karen, and Sacred Stone has so many Garu there that I feel like it would be overwhelmed. No, the Sept of the Western Eye is a little larger than this one, but not nearly as large as Sacred Stone, and I feel that that's a much better choice. And quite frankly, being beachside in Hawaii sounds like a great time.
Certainly jealous of that. Mark will put his hand on his shoulders.
I won't keep you. Guy be with you.
And you as well. May Unicorn guide your path.
Goodbye, Jonathan. And he'll return to the packs.
All right. What would y'all like to do? Who's doing what?
I guess we're parting ways, right?
Sounds that way. So, who's gonna go see Little Meatball, and who's hoofing it to Detroit?
Meatball.
I'm heading to Detroit.
Detroit. No matter which pack, and our room needs a thurge.
I was helping T-Pain here if he was split on the fence.
I am so split on the fence.
I think, I think based off of who George is going to talk to, that it'll be really good for your character's tribe to be involved with what George is going to be talking to the city farmers about. I have this inkling. And I would say if you go, then every question you can ask about the processes they do or like the cheapest, easiest, and easiest way to sustain it, I think that would be good. And I think you might make some good contacts in Detroit as a character. But that's not to dissuade you from the other side.
All right.
But yeah, there's synergy between you and George's character on that. Mm-hmm. But again, your character, your decision.
Yeah, I guess I'm torn between the two, because I feel like Dimitri would really want to go see Meatball, but also the stuff going on Detroit in going on that's going to happen in Detroit is also pertinent to the character as well. I might need the moment, or I might need to flip a coin or something.
I can let you know that we still have our headsets, so I can pass along information that I have learned, and then you can also ask questions through me.
That's also true. All right.
So if you wanted to do the best of both worlds, you can do that.
Yeah, I completely forgot about the headset, so yeah, I'm gonna go see Meatball.
Alright.
Zeb would have a quick conversation with William before he goes.
Okay.
And Mark would like that of Cora.
Okay. So Zeb, you approach right. William.
Brother William, and he'll give him like the hug. I hope your trip to Motown is a good one. I think you should try to see if we can loop in the folks at Steel Mountain and to help some of this. I think you're a business mind, I'm not. But I feel like there's a lot of people that could maybe get involved in some of this work, and that might take a while. And at least your tribe is of a mind to try to make something go over the course of a period of time. Not everyone has that much patience, I don't think. But what are your thoughts? Do you have a plan at all going there?
I'm still formulating the exact plan. I've got way too many avenues of attack that I can pursue, and it's not necessarily a bad thing to go down multiple avenues, but too many leaves you spread too thin. So the discussion with the city farmers in Detroit is going to help rein in some of those avenues. But yes, I was going to talk to the kin and other guru from Steel Mountain and see what we could do from so far away.
I know it's been a long time since you've had any contact with the city farmer, so I think this will be really good. I'm sorry to miss out on it. It's one of my favorite subjects. But keep in touch. Let us know if you need any help. We shouldn't be too long. We'll see you back in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, that I believe is the plan.
Alrighty, my friend. I'll take you in a way with no events. Speedily and stealthily.
Yeah, and send Meatball my love.
We shall.
Mark, okay. You approach Cora?
Yes.
Two hearts for you. I'm not here to argue with you. I'm here to wish you the best of luck. You know, I never meant any ill will behind what I said. It wasn't to just argue with the Alpha.
I know. And thank you. And I will remind you, I am not Alpha anymore.
Oh, well, Rhea, in that conversation you were given rank, but I appreciate that.
I hope that you guys have a lot of success in Detroit as well.
And I hope you find Little Meatball. Give him my love.
I'm sure we will.
Mark will open up for like a hug, kind of like offering. Can I?
Coral. All right.
Nope. Pick her up.
And so you split up. And you start heading off in your own directions. I'm going to assume there's going to be either some hitchhiking heading to Detroit, or maybe taking a Greyhound. A little more dangerous. And for the other group, will you be traveling via the Umbra, or will you be traveling in the physical realm?
I guess my only question is there a sept that gets us closer that has a connection to Five Mirrors?
Yes, you could go to Sacred Stone, and then Sacred Stone you could possibly go to Unified Heart, which is in Washington State.
In Washington State, okay.
Yeah.
We'd get back to Sacred Stone at no cost, but pay the price to get to Unified Heart?
You'd have to pay to get to Sacred Stone and then get to Unified Heart with no cost.
Okay. I think we should do that, unless...
I would love to. I have no talents.
I have talents. Do you have any talents, T-Pain?
I believe I still have the blood ice from our celestial adventures.
One blood ice would cover all three of you.
I mean, I'll gladly give it up if it helps everybody.
All right.
All right.
So you all launch to Sacred Stone. You see Kyle talking to the elders. He gives you a wave, and you're just all kind of like, gotta go. And launch over to Unified Heart before heading north. It is the sept that you're looking for. It is well known, but its location is not. There will likely have to be some looking around, and more importantly, it is more than likely, given the Red Talon nature, going to be easier to find in Lupus form than it is in Hamid form.
What we will do, Keegan, just depending on wherever we start at, and I probably would have done it back at Five Mirrors, mm-hmm. if there was any faceless Silent Strider that was there, like, hey, please inform or send the message, and if it gets ahead, you know, they're ahead of us, great.
Okay.
Do them the courtesy of letting them know that we're coming.
Okay. Yes, we'll say that you did do that, and they are going ahead.
Thank you, sir.
Cool. Well, with that, you start moving through and going through while the others... Are you guys taking a bus, or are you trying to hitchhike?
I'm also fine with hijacking another electric vehicle.
Hijack an electric Pentax or Pentax subsidiary vehicle. Gotta get that eco-terrorism in there, bud.
Yeah.
Wait, does any one of us have Dazzle?
No.
Oh, we might have to nix that plan.
If it's just the two of us, we can hitchhike.
Yeah.
All right, who has the highest rage?
I believe him. I would.
Him.
Six.
Perfect. So the average willpower is 2 to 3. So you have to do a charisma expressions at a +4 difficulty for people to pick you up. So it will be a diff 10.
Oh no, I don't have expressions.
Does Mark have expressions?
I have 2.
You're making that roll, but it is diff 10. Charisma expressions. One success, so you did get a hitchhike, as it's this guy who goes, jump on in, as you get into his truck bed, so you're cut off from him, which is likely the only reason he did not just go running off with you, or running off and not dealing with you. But you go through, you start driving south, as you start going down, he gets to about Chicago before he drops you guys off, as this is his stop. You'll have to do one more roll, but because of the high population of Chicago, you have a better chance of someone with slightly better willpower, so I will drop the difficulty to diff 9.
That's still you.
Boom. So, guy drives you, gets pretty close, but he ends in Ann Arbor, and so it's probably easier to walk the rest of the way at this point.
That's fine.
And that is a day that has passed. And meanwhile, heading up north, I need, from whoever has the highest, perception primal urge to start finding the proper trails to get to the Red Talon Cairn, diff 10.
I'm at 7.
It's a Korra roll. not a botch. So you guys spend a couple days searching with nothing. You are obviously in your lupus forms to kind of collect yourselves. But on the plus side, you'll get to do the roll again, and that will be diff 9 to try and get the trail. It'll get easier every day. So lose another day, but meanwhile, after about a day of walking, William and Mark, you do get to where the city walkers are, and you are, or yeah, the city farmers, and you are brought before Michelle Townforge. She's an average height black woman in overalls and a nice shirt, as you see raised beds everywhere, and you notice several just vacant lots of crops now in between houses.
Greetings, Michelle. How are you doing?
Good, good. Welcome, welcome, as she reaches out and shakes both of your hands.
Finally glad to come here. It's been so long.
Yeah, it has. We've been doing good work. We finally got a lot of things changed here in the city to try and help out, and I'm real hopeful.
Yeah, I see you've gotten a lot of more farming done.
Yeah,
these raised beds.
Yeah, well, what we ended up doing is we helped through the help of our kin, since they don't suffer the curse like we do. We got them involved with several grassroots movements to expand that base, and a lot of local regular people basically came together and they started lobbying the city government. And a lot of humans just pushed real hard, and we helped behind the scenes with a couple bits to rezone things. So like a lot of these plots of land used to be buildings, and we got the city to demolish them as unsafe, and then we were able to rebuild the soil and create gardens for the whole town in between houses. Now there's at least a vacant lot per house, so now we can share them and they become almost commons for the folks here in suburbia.
That's wonderful news. It's actually something that we're dealing with in Colorado Springs right now. Something very similar.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Right now, our kin are being restricted by HOA bylaws.
Ah. Okay, so not as similar, unfortunately. The big thing here is there's not a lot of HOAs. The thing is that Detroit got so depopulated that we were able to come up with solutions that city council were willing to try out so that they could shut off water to houses that were abandoned. I don't know how Colorado Springs is, but unless they've got whole vacant neighborhoods, I don't know if our strategy will quite work the same way, but it is a good idea to try and get some of those bylaws changed with your kin.
Well, the HOA is just a small step. It's because it's the neighborhood's being taken over by Mountain View, and a lot of other big corporations are buying up a lot of land and homes, and not just this area with the HOA, but pretty much all of Colorado Springs and a few other places too.
Oh, I see. Yep.
So the HOA is what we're dealing with short term, but long term, we could be dealing with a lot of unpopulated homes because it's owned by corporations that are, you know, utilizing it as short term housing, as like vacation rentals or anything along those lines.
Yeah. No, I hear you. And that's a bit more of a problem in the downtown, you know, healthy parts of Detroit here. These areas, that's a different problem. But we have been able to, like I said, do some community building and outreach. You'd be surprised what you can get done when kin work directly with normal folk to try and get things sorted.
That was the approach I was thinking about taking, but we do have other avenues I was also exploring if the kin weren't able to generate enough movement for their cause.
No, that's fair. Just remember that kind of movement takes time. I don't know if time is something you have, though.
Well, William, I just heard something that's interesting. Well, certainly there's organizations in Colorado Springs run by just normal humans that kind of push against these things, right?
There might be. I haven't heard anything specifically about it. If anything, it's our kin that have been doing most of the work.
Well, maybe there's a human organization that our kin could work with. I know it sounds odd, but it sounds like it worked here.
What organization did you use, Michelle?
We used the Detroit Renewal Mutual Aid Organization. They're a mutual aid group that helps out, and now that we're part of it, we contribute with food, no strings attached, to any families who need them.
Maybe there's something that's equivalent in Colorado Springs.
I mean, we could always talk with Detroit Mutual Aid, and maybe they might have a lead for us. A lot of these movements tend to talk to one another, and then we can point towards Detroit as a, you know, this worked here, why not here?
What was your biggest pushback for doing this?
A lot of companies did own some of the vacant housing. I think the reason they ended up basically caving in was the fact that the housing price spike in Detroit isn't as high as other cities across the country. So they weren't able to make it back up in rents. Plus, the destruction of housing still means that there's a lack of housing, but because Detroit's population is decreasing, that is not necessarily an issue for these companies.
So a lot of the points that you guys have going for you, we do not.
Yes, but that doesn't mean that you can't win those points. It just means that it's going to be harder.
Right. We just might have to find different pressure points that work better for our cause specifically.
Yep, and, well, you know, sometimes broken window policies help out. You find wealthy renters, they don't have to pay for the fixing of windows. Break people's windows, get the landlords to pay for it. Take out certain pipes that the city doesn't cover, landlords gotta pay for that. Now you'll inconvenience those people, but as long as you don't hit poor folk who can't really handle the rent increase or handle the repercussions, that's the important thing of, you know, making sure that you target these things. Or if you can find out, you know, the homes of those landlords, do the same. They still gotta pay for it. Or more importantly, do it to their corporate offices if they're not individuals. They gotta pay for it.
My first thought was hitting Mountain View directly, but that thought literally just went right out my head, because Mountain View is a huge conglomerate.
Oh, sure. It'll take a while to drain them of any resources, but you want to inconvenience them first, because then they're focused on those inconveniences. They might turn a blind eye to other smaller inconveniences until they can refocus, and if you don't allow them that, well.
Well, these are certainly a lot of options to explore with big city words I didn't understand.
Well, this alone has been very enlightening.
Sure. There's another thing that might help, especially if you're going to be helping your kin. Are you familiar with the gift agroculture?
I'm kind of familiar with it. I kind of know what it does, but I haven't been taught it, nor have I performed it myself.
I see.
The gift, not the rite. I'm sorry.
I'm curious as well. I was just about to ask if there are things we could possibly do in the meantime as we're exploring these options. Maybe hit more hidden gardens and such?
Maybe, yeah. So it is a gift, but it is a gift for the city farmers. So that cuts you out. I can speak to a plant spirit and help you get it. Out of character, that means you'll have to drop 3 experience.
I got it. Yeah, I'd love to learn it.
Excellent. Then let's go into the Umbra. Watch out, the shards have been pretty harsh.
As it's been everywhere.
Mark will ask Michelle if there's anything he could use his reshape object to maybe help with growing at these places at their gardens.
Well, if you grab a twig or pick up a rock, you could reshape it into a hoe or a shovel, and we can point you to the right place to start digging.
All right. I guess I'm just harebrained scheming right now, and I don't want to take up too much time. Changing an object that's something that's fragrant to attract more pollinators.
That you could do with a flower if they picked it, yes.
Okay.
And that would be, I would make that diff 7 because that's a bit more complex and it is trying to achieve a specific task, but you can reshape a flower into a fragrance that will attract bees. I would suggest, because it won't be in the vessel, picking the flower, putting it in the place that you need it to be, and then doing it, because if you hold it, it'll turn into the fragrance in your hand and you'll be like, ah, bees!
Yeah, exactly.
So, but bees are friendly.
Until they know you're withholding food from them. All right, so then make that roll. And it is, once again, manipulation crafts, and we're going diff 7.
I mean, it's 1, and all I just need to attract him. I don't need to attract him permanently.
Correct. So,
heck yes.
For a scene, more bees start arriving in the garden and spreading pollen and helping with pollination and hopefully more fruits and vegetables.
I will thank Michelle for this conversation with her, because now I can explore avenues with this gift. Blessings of Gaia upon her.
All right. So, meanwhile, William, you take a point of lethal damage as you enter the Umbra, and she takes you to a corn spirit. As the spirit speaks and sways back and forth as it seems taken aback by you. Guy's fever grows hot and your friend grows hotter, Michelle. He's Arun, his rage burns hot. But we ask that you still teach him all the same. I will do the exchange of gifts, whatever you ask, as the corn spirit asks that she plant an extra field of corn this season to aid in his strength, and she agrees. And for 3 experience, William, you gain agriculture. The Garu must plant seeds in an area to be fertilized. If this is a concrete wall, he must place the seeds in the cracks within the surface. You then roll Charisma Science against the difficulty dependent on the toxicity of the area. An abandoned lot might be diff 5. A typical city bathed in the smog of passing cars might be 6 or 7. While an oil spill site might be diff 9.
Thank you, Spirit. Thank you, Michelle. This gift will go a long way with helping ourselves and our kin. And everyone else. Especially the flora.
As you step back through and you gain another point of lethal. Well, do you all want to stay for a couple days? We're getting ready to harvest a bit. And we're going to start set up farm stands for everyone in the community.
That would be wonderful. I'd also love to, you know, talk more about, you know, with the Detroit Mutual Aid, try and get a contact.
Sure.
To see if we can get our kin. So the couple days to a week would be wonderful. And we'll help however we can.
All right.
Gladly help out.
All right. Meanwhile, back in the woods, Cora, same role as last time, but diff 8 now. You finally get the trail, and you start moving through the Canadian wilderness north, and you start entering the mountains.
Is there a way to make sure that, like, we're not being followed while we're doing this?
Perception alertness, and it will be diff 6 in lupus.
Alrighty.
Alright. You don't get the smell of anything following you. Though you start to get the smells after about 2 days of travel. You get kind of the wafts of red talon markings, and you even see the normal markings of their territory starting to appear. And then you feel the jitter across your spines as you cross in to the radiating energies of the Karen.
We should probably do our greeting.
Dimitri will step forward and do the introductory howls, introducing who they are.
You get a howl back, and you're told to wait. Pack of red talons arrive. They look you all over. They do not seem particularly happy with you being here, but one snarls and says they have a patron similar to ours from their home. Eagle has said so. You were allowed to be here. What is your business?
We have news for you. News from one of my kin, a child of Owl that is here, and to speak with the ward of the Silver Pack.
What is the news?
First, the visions of Night Hunter. Night Hunter has told me through his howls a vision of the Storm Eater being freed from its bonds. They have had this vision for some time. I believe they have probably told it to all of their kin, all of their tribe, but it has been shared, and many of my tribe consider it now. The second, he'll just give information about the South and Mexico, the fight for Gogolfang's first, and the health of the subs that are there, emphasizing the Lupus one especially. The rest is for my kin alone, and then for the Cub.
Understood. We will bring you in. The Cub is also not allowed outside of the bond. Likely you will find him. I assume you know how to follow your noses.
That's how we got here.
We'll speak to the Elder of the Silver Pack first, to follow every piece of decorum as far as the litany is concerned.
Okay. Every member of the Silver Pack is an Elder, and they have decided on making the neutral party the Alpha. That means that it is the Red Talon Unbroken Song. They are the Alpha of the Silver Pack.
Fun.
Arun?
Galliard.
Ooh.
I'll approach. Unbroken Song, Rhea.
Yes.
Myself and my sister pack have come to speak with the young lord.
Very well. You may speak to them. Speak to him as much as you like. Try not to make too much of it. It makes the others of the Karen nervous. But Eagle has a wide view and a long view, and it seemed best to hide him in a place when enemies could be seen from far away.
This was a very wise decision. I thank you for keeping him safe here.
He is kept here.
Fair enough. And I guess we'll follow our noses to the baby.
All right, as you see Meatball, kind of alone, sitting, slightly dejected, head down. He's gotten tall, though. Probably gained another 4 or 5 inches.
I get Coral, since we were in wolf form, Coral will... I don't know how they'd take it if she was in Hamid.
War form, I'd go...
Sure, Krina. Yeah, fair enough. She'll switch to Krynos form. And just like walk up behind him.
Wow, you're getting tall.
He turns around. He looks shocked for a moment, quivers a little bit before you just feel a slam into you, full force, head buried, and you feel little tears soaking into your fur.
She'll pat him on the head and say,
"I told you to come and visit.
You did."
Clutch as he pulls in, and you almost feel his claws digging into your skin.
I've got a couple other people here who might like a hug too.
Pulls away a little bit.
Zeb and Dim have come to visit as well.
Dimitri will brace for the impact by shifting into Krynos.
And you get slammed. He's almost as tall as Dimitri and Krynos. He's maybe a foot shy now.
Shoulder height.
It's good to see you, Meatball.
As he just nods.
Uncle Steven shoplifted something for you. This is a Rembrandt figure from Adolescent Deviant Samurai Tortoises.
As he grabs it and starts to play with it, he's like,
wow.
As you just see a Red Talon look on with disgust in the background that you brought plastic into this holy place.
Keep it hit.
And he goes,
thank you.
Wizzy, boom.
Zeb will give Cora her time with Meatball. And go speak to his elder of his tribe, off scene here.
As he looks around and goes,
where are the others?
Mark and William are in Detroit. They're trying to help some of our family right now.
And Papa Kyle?
Papa Kyle he's back home. He just got back from Mexico. They were looking at some of the other Karens to see which ones would be great allies.
Where's Mexico?
Many, many, many days of walking south. Past our home.
Okay. How long are you going to stay?
I don't know if this set would like us to stay for too awful long, but probably as long as we can feasibly stay.
Can you teach me things? Like, the nation?
You know what? We just got back from New York, where a woman named Agatha told us so many stories, and I can share some of those with you.
I would like that. Are there any laws beyond the first law of litany?
There are so many laws.
Could you teach me them?
Of course. Have they not been teaching you them?
Some have tried. Swift Cleaver has been kind, and she's been trying, as has Moon Whisperer, but whenever they come in, Shimmers in the Wood says that the only litany I need to know is the first law, and the other, Lake Runner, also doesn't really want to answer my questions, telling me that he's the questioner of ways, not the answer of my stupid questions. Unbroken Song sings some things, and I hear, but when he speaks of the litany, he speaks as if I should already know, and when I ask, he snarls and says, ask a Den Father. And when I try and find the Den Father, he says that he'll only teach cubs in the Karen proper, but I'm not allowed outside of the bond.
Seems like they're making it quite difficult for you sometimes, huh?
As he just nods.
It will be a difficult time, but you are strong, and you learn very quickly. I know you can do this.
Nods.
I also had a question.
What's your question?
So, when we named you, we didn't know what else to name you. I was wondering if you wanted a different name.
As Little Meatball thinks and kind of nods and goes,
I suppose, yeah. Is Meatball bad?
Recall it was originally Sven, which is why we were jokingly calling him Meatball, and then unfortunately Meatball stuck.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
This is how you name your kids in real life, you fucking monster.
Yep.
You don't know me, internet.
That's why I call my daughter Bean.
So he does have a Hamid name. We affectionately call him Meatball, but...
Gotcha.
He might need to be reminded that he has an actual name.
As he has only heard you call him Meatball.
Right.
When he has been able to form memories.
So, Meatball is a nickname that we've given you. That means we love you very much, and instead of using the actual name that we gave you, we gave you something cute. Your actual name is Sven, but if you don't like that name, then if you want a different one, then you're welcome to it.
Sven is good. Sven's good.
Okay.
But will I be allowed to pick my Garu name, too?
Well, normally Garu name is given to you when you're older.
Okay.
Like mine, Two Hearts. It's not what I would have chosen, but I asked a friend of mine at the sect, and that's the one he gave me because that's what I seem to be to him.
Okay. I think I understand. So I can earn it during my rite of passage. Do you think I could tell Shimmers in the Wood that? He said I'd never get one. I can prove him wrong.
I think that would be... It would be great to prove him wrong while being respectful. So keep it in your mind. I wouldn't just go up to him and be like, I'm gonna do it and you can't stop me. I would definitely keep it in your mind and prove him wrong with your actions. Prove to him that you are a fantastic Garu.
I just want to learn, but it seems so hard to learn here. Was it this hard for you?
It's still very hard for me to learn a lot. A lot of my learning was through physical pain.
So it is the same.
Yeah, I suppose so, yes. It's not fun in the moment, but there are lessons that we need to learn through the physical pain. We can learn that we've lived through that, and we can handle it when it comes to us in the future. Whether it is body ache or heart ache, either one. And that we can become better for it, and in spite of it.
Okay,
So that's why they tell me I'll never be a real Garu. So that I'll be strong enough to face our enemies. And that the Red Talons call me Mule because it is the strength in me.
Many Garu see Kranosborn as other. And I will tell you now that your birth mom and dad proved them wrong. They were amazing friends and allies, and they did so much for our nation.
Okay, but now, because you're here, what's the second law of Litany?
The second law of Litany is to combat the worm wherever it dwells and whenever it breeds. Have you learned about the worm?
I know the worm is bad.
That's right. The worm is a corruptor. It takes the good in the world and makes it vile. It takes the beauty and makes it ugly.
And Cora will, as best as she remembers, which is pretty well, give him the story about the fall of the worm.
Okay. White Howlers, or the fall of the worm itself becoming the corruptor?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then, she'll throw in the fall of the White Howlers as well. And the good news being that the White Howlers are perhaps on the mend.
And so we transition back to Detroit. As you're at the farm stand, they're handing out food to people. People are helping out. Seeds are being saved for the next season as things are really going great. And there are several members of the mutual aid organization here.
Well, I'll spare no time and walk up to whoever's free just to start a chat.
So there's a guy named Alex here.
I will walk up to Alex. Hey, Alex.
Hey. As he looks at you a bit leerily.
My name's William. I'm actually here visiting some friends and family from out of state. I'm from Colorado Springs, and I heard you did a lot of good work here in Detroit, specifically regarding the agriculture, taking empty lots and turning it into, raised beds and gardens to help feed a lot of the people here. And I was hoping you could give me either a point of contact in Colorado Springs that's trying to spearhead a movement there, or you could give me some tips so that way I could spearhead the movement myself down there.
Colorado Springs, that's a bit far from here. I know a couple people down south, and I know a couple people in Boston, and I know a couple in Denver. If you want, here, let me see if I can find something as he pulls out his phone and starts looking at things.
Yeah, Denver's perfect. That's actually where I'm originally from, but I'm...
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, Denver, if you type in here, as you can see, he shows you a search engine, it goes, look up Colorado Springs Mutual Aid. Just look it up, and then just... A lot of us got book novel groups. A couple of us have Y.com accounts now. Some of us have Azure Sky. Look around. Some of us have full websites. You'll get a good idea, and that will really kind of... You'll be able to see what some of our charters are and what we're really focused on. Mutual aid's everywhere, man. And all you gotta do really is search it up in your area, and almost anyone will help pull you in and try and get you involved. Most are really welcoming.
Perfect. Thank you. You've been a lot of help. What was the hardest thing here in Detroit specifically that was the biggest hurdle for you to get past?
It's really just reaching out to people, trying to figure out. The big thing is we don't want to have any kind of like real hierarchy. We want everyone to have their say. And we want everyone to really work towards it. If you get people to get buy-in, right, by feeling that they're directly involved rather than being told what to do, it really helps out. And the other thing is burnout. People can get burned out really easily, and it's important to make sure people change responsibilities. Even if someone stays at a role they're really good at, sometimes it's worth putting them in a new role that they're not very good at, but they're able to learn and try something fresh and new, and that helps with burnout as well.
It's actually a really good bit of advice right there. I might actually take that back from my own business. It's actually really smart.
Yeah, so actually, let me see. No, here, take that, as he just gives you a little booklet.
Certainly.
We pulled a lot out of that. It was really, really, really helpful.
William will you know, flip it over, looking at the back and the title of the book.
Yep, as you look through it, and it's Mutual Aid, Building Solidarity During This Crisis and the Next by Dean Spade.
Well, I'll definitely read through it on my way down to Colorado Springs and Denver.
Oh, and this one's not necessarily in this book, but it's a thing. They bring it up a little bit, but it is something that we did have to overcome, is when you have people from marginalized groups, they tend to get talked over because people who aren't part of those groups just think they're in the right and they're used to being listened to, and they usually talk over people. So really make sure that everyone has a voice, because that helps prevent that those marginalized voices from getting talked over, and making sure that some of them absolutely are able to spearhead projects in any kind of mutual aid you set up or work with.
Also great advice. I'll make sure to underline and highlight that one specifically. That one actually resonates very, very much with me.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, just look up any kind of mutual aid near you and, you know, just get involved. It doesn't have to be a lot of time. I mean, some of our volunteers can only put in 2-3 hours a week, but, you know, they put in the time, they give in money, and we just help anyone who asks for help. No strings attached, no checking to make sure that they're poor enough or any kind of like weird shit like that.
Yeah, that's kind of how a lot of my family operates. They have a little neighborhood garden that they tend to, and they give it out to the homeless or their neighbors, or just really, really nice, wholesome things. But they're dealing with a lot of bylaw issues. That's why I'm reaching out, trying to find some ways to help.
Sure.
Get a lot of that off their backs.
No, fair. And working towards that's important, but also cops can't be everywhere. So if you can find spots or move around sort of things and just make sure people are in the know, you can still help even if you're breaking the laws. Alex makes little air quotes.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been quite helpful. Thanks, Alex.
Yeah, sure. As Alex kind of waves as he goes over to some of his friends, him and his group start going off and start helping people around, cleaning up a little bit, things like that.
Yep, and I'll go right back to handing out any food necessary or doing any of the tasks required.
Yep, and you guys do that.
Oh, sorry. I want to see if I can reach out to Dimitri, since I know he wanted ask a couple of questions here or there.
So, you to contact him, it'll be Diff 5.
And that would be... I'm trying to remember the role specifically. I thought Gnosis. I wrote it down.
It's just Gnosis.
Oh, just Gnosis. Okay, so it's just 4. And you said Diff 5?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so you're able to say something to Dimitri.
Hey, Dimitri. William here, just trying to see if you had any questions that you wanted me to ask the city farmers, or come to find out there's a mutual aid in Detroit that's been helping spearhead a grassroots movement with growing food for everyone.
Would I have to make a Gnosis roll to answer back?
You do. Diff 5.
Okay. All right.
You got this.
Permanent or temporary?
Permanent.
Okay. Oh, thank goodness.
Awesome. So you're able to reply.
All right. And Dimitri will answer. I'm glad to hear from you, William. I suppose my next question would be if we have a similar movement in Colorado Springs, and what the sort of steps we would have to take to start one ourselves.
So I did get an answer on that. That was one of my first questions, and it's actually in Denver. That's the closest one that I know of. Alex, who works with the Detroit Mutual Aid, specifically stated that and showed it to me on their phone. I'll have to do a bit more research as far as, you know, what we can do to bring it to Colorado Springs, since I know it's about an hour drive away. But I don't think it would be necessarily too hard to get some resources down in Colorado Springs to help us out, to either create our own movement or for them to, you know, expand a bit in Colorado.
All right. I think maybe that does a lot of the work for us. Since the housing company has gotten such a foothold in Colorado Springs already. I have a suspicion that maybe there isn't a local chapter in Colorado Springs, but it wouldn't hurt to do the research on that end and see if we can get our kin involved.
Yeah, it definitely seems that this is going to be a more kin-forward approach, letting them work a lot of it themselves, but having the backing of us to help them out, which I actually kind of like. It gives them... It almost feels like it turns the tables where we're helping them out and they're not just helping the deadbeats.
Exactly. And I was thinking of some of the ideas I had before, and I wouldn't want to cause any damage to the neighborhoods that would end up hurting our kin as well. So anything that the kin can do or we can help organize that doesn't majorly impact them or do damage towards them financially, I think is a step in the right direction.
For sure. Yeah, I'm definitely working on narrowing down the avenues that we can take that's going to encourage more self-reliance on, you know, growing your own food and not just creating the next dollar for greed's sake. Money is not bad, but greed is what causes it.
In that case, maybe we can reach out to some of the local farms as well and see if we can buy farming supplies, seeds, fertilizer locally, rather than going through the major department stores.
Well, one step at a time, but that is a good idea. Doing everything local. I like that.
I might be thinking a few steps ahead.
Yeah, first we have to make sure that they can actually do it legally. But that would be the next step afterwards. Do you have any questions that I need to pose towards the kin here?
None really come to mind specifically, but I know we have a fair number of Bonar kinfolk, a lot of low-income people.
Oh, here's some stuff for you guys, actually. Michelle comes over, hands you a few bags of seeds. Since you got your gift, that should help out a bit.
This would be great.
That one has apple tree seeds. They're drought resistant. So
on top of my gift, then they already are hardy trees to begin with.
Yeah, and you can use your gift to try and help give them an extra leg up. A good idea, actually, if you can get away with it. You start going places and cutting down other folks, you know, shade trees, and start replacing them with fruit trees. And start doing that in a couple other places on city land. Create food forests so that there's just free food for folk.
I've heard about that. So further down in the south, some places have done that with grapefruit and orange trees.
Yep. It's a little harder in the Midwest and places you're at, but like if you start looking up things, try and find plants that grow, or at least semi-native, you'll make sure that you feed plenty of people and start cutting into some corporate profits. And then all you have to do is have a few people running around managing it and making sure that the city doesn't fuck with them.
It's a beautiful idea. I do have one question/request. If I wanted to, you know, broken window policy, but not the window, maybe some like poison ivy or oak. I know it kind of messes with the people living there, but what about something that tears into the structure foundation of the building more?
Well, you can do that. That'd be trees, though. You'd want to plant some trees near the foundation. That's okay. Going to be closer to what you want. But remember, big corporate goals is to limit housing. What you want to do is start fucking with office buildings best you can. Or rich people's houses, like McMansion shit.
Well, yeah, that was kind of the idea with starting to deteriorate the buildings. Make it too costly for them to live there, and then we can renovate the McMansions into, you know, multi-family, multi-generational homes.
Sure, but then they gotta fix it too, so gotta do what you can.
Yeah.
Alright. Well, if you need anything, here's my cell phone number. We've got other Garu around here too, and city farmers are trying to do our best.
Well, it's finally great to come up here again, like I said. So I'll take this information and run with it. If I have any more questions, you just gave me your number. I got you.
Sure. And my email's on that card, too.
Perfect. And vice versa. And I'll exchange business cards.
There you go. Well, it was nice meeting you all.
Yeah. Mark, do you have anything that before we finally head out? I mean, not completely done here yet, but...
Oh, no, I don't have anything right now, no. I'm just glad to be of help here.
All right. Meanwhile, so a couple days, all that. And then meanwhile, Zeb, which one are you approaching? They're all kind of scattered all over the place in the Sept.
Zeb will, walk out to the center and howl.
Okay.
You know who I am. I will say no more. What an honor to be among these chosen of Phoenix, the greatest of the Gru Nation. And here in the home of the tribe of Griffin, who time of again we failed to listen to. Our silver pack, whose devotion to the litany and our people, so great, they would do anything necessary to battle the worm, but show compassion, or even less effort, just try. You would make yourself witnesses to fate, then lift a finger to act. I'm no Ragabash, but is this spite? The eyes of our seers grow heavy. There is a barrier in time within the Tellurian we can no longer look beyond. It is unclear. Everything is with us. And to witness this, the songs that will be sung when we are all dead, with dry croaks coming from rotting husks. Is this the best we have? Where is the heart of the wolf? This is worse than ape thought. This is worm thought. We treat ourselves now as assets, transactions. For shame. At this point, you're keeping him alive for sport. I weep for the loss you're about to feel when you lose your territories, your honor dead, your homelands, to suffer as the Silent Striders have. But at least we will be finally united in failure.
There are growls from many of the Red Talons, and it is then that the Philodox, Fianna, Killian, Shimmers in the Wood, steps forward and goes, "What are you on about? Silent Strider, what are you saying? Show compassion? Compassion to what? I have shown compassion to everything here that deserves even a flicker of it."
"Teach a guru of Gaian, of the Gaian people, the litany, Elder. The bare minimum."
"That wasn't written out. I'm only here to make sure the little shit doesn't fall to the worm. It's not my problem if you fooled yourself into believing the deal was something it isn't."
"Perhaps I was foolish enough to believe that elders that would commit themselves to Phoenix and the fate of our people would try a little bit harder than the letter of the law and hope to be done with a burden on them when you're going to be written into the silver record and remember forever as heroes. Heroes you already are now. Surely there'd be more in your heart to stir it than to just do the bare minimum and walk away. Is that all this is now? Is all we are just open mouthpieces to say what we don't mean anymore? Words mean nothing unless I write it out for you? Come, Elder, that would not stand before you if I brought that argument. I would be dead."
"If you were there bringing an abomination that everyone with a brain knew was going to fall to the worm, maybe not this year, but the next, and you tried to teach it our secrets, I would have you executed." As Unbroken Song growls and says, "That has not been determined yet." Killian kind of nods and goes, "As you say, Alpha."
"Elder, I would submit that all visions that we have now say everything is undecided. I would sooner we act in our favor and own our fates than surrender it here and now. Surrender cannot be an option. Unacceptable as it might be. Otherwise, kill it now. Let the green fall apart. Go back home, we fight our wars separately, and we all wait, in time, as the worm washes over us like a great wave. They've already shown they could attack us in mass at once. They hit every sept that gathered together during the Concordant. We cannot proceed this way."
"Its fate is unknown to me," Unbroken Song says. "I sing when I must, and it to learn. I expect it to listen and pick up at least the bare minimum. I did not expect it to think so Hamid. Perhaps that is my failing. But it does not listen to the howls. Not deeply. This is not my Karen. I cannot bring it past the bond. despite me thinking that that is a better choice. This is a sacred place to the Talons, and the spirit here is powerful to spot enemies so that the child is not lost to us. I had to compromise in a way that most Hamids do every day of their life. I will speak to my pack, at least to make it learn the litany, for that must be etched into all Garu hearts. But giving it a full education, I cannot promise. That was not part of this, despite what you feel or I feel, or the two there, the Strider and the Fury, who have been doing their best, but understand the discomfort of the Talons of this place. Perhaps I can move on. We may have been here too long, but I have been listening to spirits. I did plan on bringing it to a Karen more friendly to it, but it needs a hard skin, and we need to be reminded of those who wish to end it. Because if we grow too fond of it, then our fangs will hesitate if its life must be spilt on the ground. As he looks directly at Sven.
That is all that was ever asked, Elder. I hope it will have a greater wolf heart than I.
Your wolf heart speaks truer than many. I acknowledge the wisdom in your words.
We are honored to be in the presence of you and your pack, Alpha, and for being hosted here amongst the tribe of Griffin. And we will depart unless there are services that are required or messages that must be carried for you and your tribe.
No messages must be carried.
Zeb will kind of just be the distraction if his compatriots want to say goodbye to the kid.
Yeah. She's not going to sneak out and be like, deuces, bud. Have a good time. Moonwalk out of the set. So, yeah. While Zeb is being the distraction, Cora will just, like, she'll hug Meatball and, like, just look at him really hard. Like,
I know you can do this.
Thanks, Mama. I'll try and learn better, and I'll try and be strong.
Use your ears to listen so well. We'll see you again. We will come visit. We'll find you again.
Dimitri is gonna go up and hug Sven and say,
next time I'll sing you songs and sing you stories and answer to any questions that you have. Anything that you're not sure about. But let me know next time and I'll tell you a story.
Nods and gives you both hugs. All right, and you guys start heading back. You guys get back to the Unified Heart after about, moving at wolf speed, about 2.5-3 days, crossing through most of the state, all that, and you get word, because it is now July 31st, that the Sacred Stone was attacked. There was a fire near the Air Force Base, which created a huge police and fire department distraction. And during that time, several, not quite leeches, but shambling corpses attacked the Karen. They were defeated, and Unified Heart had sent Garu to defend. William and Mark, you hear the same thing in Five Mirrors when you get back there, at around the same point, the same time. The other thing is you've all noticed that the gauntlet has gotten even thicker, and it is harder to step sideways normally. And you must now even make rolls to pass into the Umbra through the heart of a Karen. Though it is only diff 4 to do so.
Damn.
And with that, you are allowed to return to your home Karen due to the fact that there was a recent emergency. It is August the 1st when you all finally reconvene. And you can now share notes and start talking about what you learned next time. Thank you to everyone who listened. We'll catch you in that next episode. Bye.
Bye.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.